8. We'll begin reading verse 6. We'll also have it for you in the PowerPoint overhead as well. Jeremiah. The sermon is titled Ebed-Melech, Old Clothes and Old Rags. Old clothes and old rags. Let us read the Word of God, Jeremiah 38, verse 6. I believe we have it. There we are. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was not water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. The setting and timing of this event, when the Lord's prophet Jeremiah was thrown down into the dungeon to die, these were terrible days in Israel under King Zedekiah. One lone man, Jeremiah, had fought the battles against the false idols and the battles against disobedience to the one true God and to God's plans and God's commands. In fact, earlier, under another king, King Jehoiakim, the people had refused to turn from evil, and they had continued to worship false gods. So Jeremiah had sent his scribe, Baruch, to read the warnings of God. One of those warnings read as this, and it's in verse 7, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. By the way, I just remind all of us today that God's plan is always to offer forgiveness to those that heed His warning and turn from sin. That's still His plan for us today through Jesus. So Baruch read the scroll. He read the scroll to the leaders and all the people in the temple. And then one of the princes took the scroll from Baruch and he took it to the home of King Jehoiakim. And he read it to the king in front of his fireplace. When he got through reading it to the king took it and tore it up and burned it in the fireplace. He was so angry to hear the words of God's prophet. Well, God indeed pronounced judgment on that wicked king Jehoiakim. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and captured him and bound him in bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon where he died. Well, later, another king is in his place, King Zedekiah. And under him, Israel continues in rebellion. They continue to rebel against the things of God. And they don't heed the warnings of Jeremiah, the prophet. So judgment comes. Judgment comes against Israel in the form of the Chaldeans. And they begin a siege against Jerusalem. In that example, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt. And when the Chaldeans heard of it, they fled and departed Jerusalem and ended the siege. Well, the prophet Jeremiah, he warns King Zedekiah that the Lord has told him that the Chaldeans are going to come back and that they will take the city and burn it. And that the king should not be deceived in thinking that everything's going to be all right. He's still trying to get the folks to realize they need to turn from their sin. Later, Jeremiah goes out of the city of Jerusalem to go to his family's property in the land of Benjamin. When he goes to the land of Benjamin to overlook his family's property, one of the guards arrested him, claiming that Jeremiah was trying to defect over to the enemy, the Chaldeans, which was totally a lie. Isn't it amazing? Well, the people of God doing good things and people make up lies about them. That's still true today, too. Well, they beat Jeremiah and they threw him in a prison, in a dungeon. Well, King Zedekiah, he came, he took him out of the dungeon and he asked him, he said, is there any word from the Lord? See, this evil king was hoping God would say something good to him, even though he was still evil. And Jeremiah said these words. Listen to what Jeremiah told him. Now, he's just let him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah, he says, is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah says, yes, you shall be delivered to the hand of the king of Babylon. Not exactly the message that King was looking for. Not exactly making Jeremiah any more popular in that community. So he asked the king, Jeremiah, he asked the king, he says, "Now, dear king, don't make me go back down into the dungeon. Let me just be up here in the court of the prison where I have more freedom." And the king relented to his request. Well, Jeremiah, being the man of God that he was, he didn't stay silent. He's out of the dungeon. He's up there in the court of prison. But he's telling everybody that would listen. He's warning them that they're all going to die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence if they don't turn from their evil ways and turn to the one true God. That the king of Babylon is going to come and seize that city and take all of them and burn it. And the only way they're going to have safety would be for them to go over to the Chaldeans. And if they were willing to do that before the siege, they'll live. Well, the Bible tells us it was a very unpopular message in Israel, and that the princes or the noblemen of Israel, that's the real important guys. You know, people that thought they were important anyway, the judges and the rulers and the Pharisees, and they all came together and they wanted to put Jeremiah to death. You know, sharing the good news and the truth of Jesus isn't always well received today, is it? Folks get mad at us. They don't like the truth. They didn't like the truth that Jeremiah was telling them. Those in sin and in rebellion, they never want to receive the truth. And with their hard in hearts, they want to just continue in their sin. Well, they claimed that Jeremiah was a bad guy, and they wanted to put him back into the dungeon, and they did. They said, "This man is weakening the hands of those brave men that are going to try to defend our city." All Jeremiah was doing was telling them the truth. They took him and threw him into a deep dungeon. They let him down. It was so deep they had to let him down in the dungeon by ropes. It was really a cistern, a dried up cistern. The bottom of it was no water, but there was this mire, this muddy mess in the bottom of this old cistern. And that's where they put Jeremiah. Now, they put him down there. If he ever grew tired of standing, he would slowly sink down into that mire and may eventually die. But see, these wise guys that put him down there, they thought that'd be okay because then they wouldn't be blamed for his death. Poor Jeremiah. Jeremiah is doing exactly what God has asked him to do. Jeremiah is exactly in the will of God. Jeremiah is being obedient to God. He's being faithful to God. And look what is happening to this man of God. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever been at that point where you're faithful to God? You're trusting in Him. You're believing in Him. Your hope is in Him. And yet, despite that, you find yourself in circumstances like Jeremiah. And you cry out to God and say, "Oh God, please help me." I will tell you, even in those circumstances, you can still count on God's help, because He is faithful, just as He was to Jeremiah. Just because you find yourself in a very unpleasant and painful situation does not mean, hear me this morning, it does not mean that God has abandoned you. It does not mean that at all. He's not forgot about you. It doesn't even mean that somehow you've missed God's will if you're just serving Him with all your heart. This poor man, Jeremiah, he's all alone. He's in the filth and the mire of this deep dungeon, the cistern. And the Bible tells us that a man of Africa, an Ethiopian, comes to Jeremiah's rescue. His name is Ebed-Melech. And in Jeremiah chapter 38, if you still have your Bibles open, I'm reading verses 7 through 13. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is. For there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon where Jeremiah was. Then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, "Put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. This action and help of this brave Ethiopian saved the life of God's servant. But at the same time, he endangered his own life. For if the nobleman that had put Jeremiah in that pit, if they had realized what Ebed-Melech had done, certainly they would come and take him and hang him and get rid of him. Do it behind the king's back. Think of it. Ebed-Melech was a eunuch. He was a male servant, probably neutered. He was a black man working in the king's house as a slave. He was at the lowest level of the social order of that particular time and in that particular culture. Ebed-Melech was considered a nobody. He was just considered a possession, property. But on this day, this lowly man was one of the bravest of the brave in all of Israel. He dared approach the king when the king hadn't even called for him and to plead for the rescue of the man of God, Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech's actions not only resulted in the rescue of Jeremiah, but how he did it, the way he rescued Jeremiah, the manner in which he did it, showed a level of thoughtfulness and concern and consideration and kindness for Jeremiah's well-being, not only getting him out, but doing it safely without a lot of physical harm to him. Why does the Bible bother adding the little details about old rags and old clothes in this particular story? The key is that Jeremiah was rescued. This Ethiopian took the time to do something that made the rescue of God's prophet less painful, less harmful to him physically as he pulled him out by the ropes. May I suggest to you today that it's in the Bible because it is a reminder that God is saying to you and me, there is no detail of our lives that is too insignificant. It is a reminder that He touches the hearts of others, other folks that He might use to come and minister to us and to help us, folks that we may least expect to be the one that comes to help us, to bring God's concern and tenderness to our dark situation, to our trouble, when just like Jeremiah, we feel like we're in a dungeon and sinking in the mire and there's no way out. But suddenly God sends someone, like this man Ebed-Melech came to Jeremiah. It's a beautiful image that no detail is too small when God comes to your rescue. It's a beautiful reminder that there's no insignificant thing in our life from God's perspective. What a beautiful example Ebed-Melech is. He risked everything, his own life, to rescue this man that he hardly knew, this man of God. Maybe Jeremiah had seen Ebed-Melech in the court of the prison and had been especially kind and considerate toward him. No doubt Ebed-Melech had sensed that Jeremiah was truly a man of God. And in his own heart, perhaps Ebed-Melech had believed in that one true God for his own salvation. You think about it, all the all the powerful, all the educated, all those with position and great honor and authority, all of them had rejected the message of Jeremiah, hadn't they? All of them had rejected it. How ironic it is that this lowly Ethiopian servant would dare trust God and believe the words of the prophet and give aid to him when everybody else, supposedly that really mattered, had completely turned their backs on him. Can I tell you it's no different today? It's not. The proud, the arrogant, the learned, those with authority, those who think they've got it all figured out, they still turn their hearts away from our Savior, Jesus. That they don't understand that Jesus is always standing there with his arms open wide, ready to receive anyone that would turn from their sin and reach out in faith and receive grace and forgiveness from the throne of God through his Son, Jesus. Even today, when you hear our missionaries talk about folks that receive the message of Jesus, even today, it's the lowly, the humble, the hurting, the displaced, the needy, the oppressed, that are so quick to receive the gift of grace and forgiveness through Jesus. So Jeremiah, he returned to the safety of the prison court. He's been lifted up. And Ebed-Melech is back doing his job helping the king in the king's home. And you know, every moment Ebed-Melech has to be thinking, these rulers that put Jeremiah in the dungeon, if they find out I pulled him out, they're going to come and they're going to kill me. And if they don't kill me, at any moment the Chaldeans are going to come in and overtake the city and burn and kill everybody. And one way or the other, I'm going to be dead. And the Bible says that fear was in the heart of Ebed-Melech. I think fear would be in all of our hearts in those situations, wouldn't it? Absolutely. But see, our Heavenly Father is faithful to us. He is not only faithful, he is a most thoughtful and caring Heavenly Father when he looks down and sees our needs and our fears just as he did that day for Ebed-Melech. In the 39th chapter of Jeremiah, I think we have this on the PowerPoint for you, beginning with verse 15, listen to these words and read them with me. Meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. What an incredible message that was for Ebed-Melech. Can't you just imagine that when Jeremiah was tenderly lifted out of that dungeon, That when he was given the old rags and old clothes to help him put around those ropes and pull him out, and he found relative freedom, don't you know at some point he had to be thinking, wow, Ebed-Melech didn't just jerk me up to safety with rope burns all over my body, but he brought these old rags and old clothes that he might make my rescue painless. I can just imagine Jeremiah would say something like this. I'll never forget what he's done for me and how he did it. Don't you know that stayed in his heart? Don't you know that Jeremiah had to be praying for Ebed-Melech? Oh God, protect him, bless him. This man of faith that's helped me, oh God, be with him. It's no surprise when we read these words in the scripture where God says to Jeremiah, be sure and tell Ebed-Melech, I will deliver you because you've put your trust in me. Who are you trusting in today? What are you trusting in today? God is telling you this morning, no matter what the adversity may be around you, what the situation may be, put your trust in him. He's saying, I will deliver you. He's faithful to us. Don't you know that when Ebed-Melech heard this message from the prophet that God was going to deliver him, that his confidence had to just soar, his faith had to just grow, because he knew if 1,000 fell at one side and 10,000 at the other, he was going to be okay because he had God's promise. And it brought peace and a calm to a heart that was full of weariness and fear and uncertainty. Well, Jerusalem was overrun. It was overrun, and arrogant Gentiles walked through the holy places of the city and the temple. Everywhere leaders were dead and dying, and captives were assembled and taken back as slaves to Babylon. And truly, Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled, what he had warned them about. Yet the Bible tells us that the Babylonian king recognized and respected the great prophet Jeremiah. And he made provision for his safety, as recorded in the 40th chapter of Jeremiah. In fact, the historian, the Jewish historian Josephus, records in the Antiquities of the Jews how Jeremiah's request brought liberty for his scribe Baruch, and no doubt in the same manner, his request brought liberty and freedom for a black Ethiopian eunuch that dared risk his life to rescue God's messenger. Oh, praise God for that. In conclusion today, this story from God's Word is a wonderful reminder of five things. We have them on this PowerPoint for you. First of all, God is watching over us. He's watching over you this morning. Even when the darkest moment comes, He is with us. Secondly, there's no detail too small for God. There's no detail for God not to be concerned about it that's too small. He cares about the most minor things in our lives. God is thoughtful and mindful of our worry and fears. He's always ready to give comfort and assurance if we'll just reach out and wait on Him and trust in Him. God is faithful, isn't He? He's faithful. His word is true. His promises are forever. Don't you know Ebed-Melech was holding on to that promise that God gave him? It's not just what you do for others. It's not just what you do in obedience to God. It's how you do it. Ebed-Melech was obedient to go rescue Jeremiah the prophet out of that dungeon. But how he did it is recorded, and thousands of years later, we still read of it and are reminded of the gentleness and the thoughtfulness and the passion and compassion that he had when he lifted Jeremiah out of that dungeon. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it, and as God leads you and directs you, that you do it with a sense of passion and love and tenderness and concern for those that God places in your heart. And He'll do that if you'll let Him. He'll guide you if you'll let Him. Don't forget, when you're doing what God's asked you to do, don't forget the old clothes and the old rags, because it'll be a difference maker in somebody else's life. Somebody else will say, I can't believe this person helped me, but it's not that stands out even. It's how they did it. Did they do it with love and tenderness and passion and genuine heart of concern? Oh, it makes a difference, folks. It makes a big difference, just as it did for Jeremiah. Happy is the man or woman that dares to keep their faith and trust in God, who, like Ebed-Melech, is willing to even face adversity and even death and step out in faith, risking everything. For we know that we will receive our rewards. Amen. We will receive our rewards from God's own hand. Someday, I'm going to be in heaven. In fact, I look forward to the millennial reign of Christ on this earth because I'm going to be with Him. How about you folks? And you know, the millennial reign of Christ on this earth is going to be filled with all the folks that trusted in God, all the ones that trusted in Jesus as their Savior, all the old saints that are resurrected at the time of the rapture of the church, and all of us that are alive and remain will be with them. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? So think about this with me today. Not only will we get to see the prophet Jeremiah during that 1,000-year reign with Jesus on this earth before we're all in heaven, we'll also get to hug the neck of a young man that was at the lowest station of life and risked everything he had out of love for God and love for a man of God, Ebed Melech. And we'll say, oh, you're the guy. Can I just hug you and say thank you? You know, we'll get to do that. God's already hugged him. God's already thanked him, as he's thanked so many that have gone before us, that have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Do you know Jesus today? Is he your Savior? Have you trusted in him to forgive you of your sins? Have you confessed to him that he's your Lord and Savior? I pray you say yes to all those questions, that you know him as your Savior. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful examples of your love in the Word of God, your wonderful examples of care and concern for this wonderful man, Jeremiah. You care as much for all of us in this room today. Your concern for our lives and what we're dealing with, God, is real, it's true, that we're not alone. You are with us. We thank you, Father, for you are faithful. God, help us not lose hope. Help us to trust in you. Help us to hold on with all we've got when the light seems so dim and life is so hard. God, send someone like Ebed Melech into those lives of those that are experiencing difficulty. Bring light and hope and joy. Use us to be that person to reach out through your love in us to those in need. Help us say yes. Help us to risk everything to be obedient for you. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We pray your blessings on all here today. I pray the Holy Spirit would touch each heart and each life. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us, and returning guests and first-time guests. It's an honor to have you. And if you're looking for our church home, we'd love to have you come back and visit with us again. We'd love to get to know you. And this church is a unique church. It's kind of a retro church. We still sing all the old hymns and the old songs and do things in a way that is a little different than the more modern church does today. I pray it's a blessing to you. I tell you, it's a blessing to me to be a part of this. And I thank you for the privilege of serving as your pastor. Would you please stand with me today?